Hey, Tiger fans, it's time to talk football. The Auburn Tiger Radio Show with your host, Bo Meganson, starts now. To get in on the show, call 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And War Eagle Auburn fans, welcome to your Auburn Tiger radio program and therapy session. If you'd like to call in and give your two cents, we'd love to hear from you. It's 343-0106, 343-0106. Antonio Coleman and I here with you for the next hour, taking your calls, listening to your... What are we talking about here? It's your venting does not do it justice. Is it...
Gnashing
of teeth would be a good term.
Yes.
If you need to emote, if you need to... Like a lot of maybe some of those folks after the 2016 election, they had to go out in the street and just scream. They had scream sessions. We're here for you. We're here for you, Auburn folks. Now, please don't scream into the phone because we have to adjust that. But we're here because I think we probably all, Antonio, share the same opinions. Now, first thing and foremost, we all love Auburn. We are for Auburn. I don't care who the face of the program happens to be. We're about Auburn and doing what's best for our university, where you have your diploma from, Antonio, where I have my diploma from, and where, frankly, most of you listening have your diplomas from. And so that's what we want, first and foremost. But that said, you know, chemotherapy has to kill the cells before it can kill the cancer, Antonio, and it ain't pretty right now as far as Auburn football goes.
Well, it's pretty messy up there, and got a lot more messy last Saturday once we faced Tennessee. And I know a lot of people are shocked. A lot of people are speechless. We really don't know what to think at this point or where this football program is going. So Saturday is going to be a big test for us, and it's going to be a test for Gus Malzahn himself, being in the business that football is a, I guess as you can say, it is a production business.
Absolutely.
No matter how many dollar signs you're old, I have behind your name, it is a production business, and if you don't produce, you will be replaced.
Well, and you come from this from a unique position, having lived through this in 2008, so I do want to get your take on that. But let's go to the phones. We already have callers who need to let some steam off. Let's go to the phones, talk to Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
Good evening, War Eagle, everybody.
War Eagle, Steve.
What I'm about to say for me has been very painful. And I attended Auburn. My son and daughter graduated from Auburn, so I don't say this lightly. I wanted to be a Gus Malzahn supporter for a long time. I've pulled for him. I can't do it anymore, guys. I cannot stay on the Gus bus. I've pushed it into a ditch, and I can't get out of it. Now, having said all that, there are some troubling things going on with Malzahn that I try to overlook, maybe defend, but people who are smarter than me, guys, like Mr. Rob Pate, I go to a website that I subscribe to called Auburn Undercover. I don't know if you are familiar with that website.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Have you been reading some of the columns on there by Dr. Rob Pate, also by Philip Marshall and Brandon Marcello about the program?
There are a lot of love, and of course, Jay Tate from the AuburnSports.com has written some as well. There's plenty of articles out there about what's going on with the program, Steve, but I get your point.
Right. But Rob Pate wrote a recent column, and for Rob to say this is pretty strong commentary. He said that the title column was that it's no longer it's indefensible what happened over the past weekend. And you and I, guys, you got to agree. Tennessee should not have even been in that game. They had no business being in that game or even winning it.
No,
we all know that.
Absolutely not.
And
you've been here.
What goes on from here, guys, it's no longer about how many games will we win or not win. To me, it's about, you know, what has led to this. And I am a retired professional in the mental health field over 40 years, and I've overlooked some things I should not overlook. But to me, this is more less about wins and losses, but more about what is possibly an explanation. And I've seen Malzahn comes across. I've watched some replays of some of his press conferences, some of the Auburn reviews that I watch, and he comes across to me as an individual who seems to, unfortunately, not benefit from past behaviors in games, from past you know, outcomes. He seems to be stuck with a routine that reminds me of someone who has a degree of Asperger's syndrome. In other words, he likes a certain routine, and regardless of what the outcome is for that routine, he sticks to it. He doesn't do well with disruptions of his routines, and that to me is what I've been seeing. No matter what other people may say around him or not, he sticks to the same routine.
I tell you what, Steve, what's really interesting is that Antonio and I were talking about similarities or recurring themes under Gus Malzahn, one of which is the regression, the consistent regression of otherwise exceptional quarterbacks. You look at Jeremy Johnson, who played very well as a true freshman in his spot starts and spot play when he was in for Nick Marshall. Then, from his first game against Louisville on, went backwards until he absolutely couldn't have – he's not even in the Arena League now. Now you've got Jared Stidham, who had a great year last year, but is now regressing again. So there are patterns. And Antonio, like I said, we'll take another caller here in a second. But you've seen this kind of this movie before, where a program, and it may be have been for different reasons, where you know they're at the end of Coach Tuberville's reign, that things started going backwards and. Sometimes the wheels fall off and you can't get it back. Is it a function of just players, or is it the attitude around the players? Or, of course, on the offense, it was Tony, the clash between Tony Franklin and the other offensive coaches. What did you see then?
Well, I think it was a mixture of both, but coaches in general. At the end of the day, you're hired to do a job. You're hired to bring in the top athletes, and you're hired to put a proven great product on the field week in and week out to help a university be successful. And the coaches that you hire are hired to coach these guys to the best of their ability and make these kids some of the best players in the country. So once you get that and you don't have coaches that can really develop certain guys, like I feel at the quarterback position that we haven't developed a quarterback since Gus Malzahn has been there. Let's be honest. Cam Newton was a junior college kid that came in and was probably already developed. You know, 1 year.
Played 1 year.
Nick Marshall, another junior college kid that came in and, you know, maybe wasn't a quarterback, but had the athletic ability and was skilled enough that he learned in junior college that he could get it done also. Now you get Jared Stidham, which was, I think, a proven quarterback at Baylor, came in to Auburn his first year and proved himself at Auburn, but there's no way you can digress the way that he has digressed with three interceptions versus Tennessee, in which their quarterback didn't throw an interception.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Blue. You're my boy, Blue. Go ahead. You're on the Auburn Tiger Radio program.
Bo and AC, I really appreciate this show, and what a lead in to therapy. A lot of Auburn people need some therapy, and like Steve just said prior to us, I'm a second-generation Auburn graduate. It breaks my heart to see what's happening. Gus Malzahn is a good man, but we need a good coach. And I've heard this commentator on one of the TV shows, when you've got a commentator that can dissect our plays, like one of the comments that only 8 of our passes all year long have come inside the numbers. We're just not doing it offensively. I love my defensive coordinator. I'm disappointed that our offensive line hasn't done better. J.B. Grimes, I think he's a great coach. He was there when we led the SEC, led the nation in rushing. It's a shame that we've come down to this, but the numbers speak for themselves. And as AC just said, we have not developed a quarterback. Sure, I mean, we had lightning in a bottle with Nick Marshall, and we had lightning in a bottle with Cam Newton, and we have not developed a quarterback. And, you know, I hate what happened with Jay Jacobs and the president, of a brand new president that went ahead and renewed this contract. And my question to you guys, I hate this for Auburn fans. My question to you two guys is, if we lose this weekend against Ole Miss, which I think is a 50-50 shot, how do y'all see the rest of this season playing out?
Well, I tell you what, Blue, hold on. We're going to take a break real quick and come back with more of that right after this.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back to your Auburn Tiger radio program, Auburn fans. 343-0106 is the number, 343-0106. If you feel like you need some therapeutic release of your emotions, if you really need to vent, have a warm environment, we've got a little incense going here. We've got some beads we put in. We've got some mood lighting. AC's in the corner, sitting cross-legged and going, om. So it's all about therapy here today, folks. So if you need to call and feel like you need to get something off your chest, trust me, you got plenty of company. And we're going to keep it as relatively positive as we can. I know there's a hard to find that right now, unless you're talking basketball. And, of course, Auburn basketball is starting, so Bruce Pearl. I've heard more than one person say whatever the question is, the answer is Bruce Pearl. I don't care what the question is. I don't care if it's what do you want for dinner. It's Bruce Pearl. And that's a good place to start. But we have to start with football. And, AC, what Blue was talking about is, you know, what happens if we lose to Ole Miss, which is a legitimate possibility. These guys can score points. Tennessee showed last week that throwing up 50-50 balls to big receivers, which Ole Miss has, is a very, very effective offense against Auburn because they ran the ball. They did not run the ball at all. They did a little bit on the first possession, but after that had less than 50 yards rushing for the whole game. But all they did was throw up 50-50 balls on the outside, and we couldn't make plays, which I hate because we have a kid from here that's maybe starting this week playing up there that you coached last year.
Ole Miss is a dangerous team. Maybe not as sound and good defensively, but their offense is explosive. And I think they may have one of the deepest receiving cores, most talented receiving cores that I've seen in college football this year. And we have a couple guys that are down and hurt. So one of the guys that we're talking about, Roger McCray, is definitely going to have to step up because he's probably going to start and he's going to play.
True freshman, played at Williamson High School last year for you.
Yeah. So this is the tell of the tape right now.
And our offense has this season made a habit of making bad defenses look good. Like Tennessee last week. Tennessee hadn't been able to stop anybody all year, but they could stop us. So our offense is a problem. Our defense has been really bad the last couple of weeks. Gave up 300 yards rushing to State against a predictable State offense. Last week, Jared Garantano, Tennessee's quarterback, had not thrown for more than 200 yards in a single game in his career. Last week, he throws for over 300 yards against Auburn in 3.5 quarters. So we're struggling on all areas. Had a couple of plays, a couple of special team plays, where Ryan Davis with the ball, a punt hit the ground and roll, and ended up flipping field position. And of course, Tennessee got the ball back at the end of that very end of the first half. He got a field goal, where if Ryan just catches the ball about the 20-yard line, and I think he was blinded by the sun. But if he catches the ball, Tennessee never gets – we probably run out the clock, and Tennessee never gets the ball back. So a lot of implosion. Of course, at Auburn, if we're going to implode, we do it right. We implode big time. So I mentioned to you earlier that you've kind of been through this, and what you've seen this because you were there when Coach Tuberville went 5-7 and got fired. What similarities, and you're not in the locker room now, so you don't see that, but how can you compare where you guys were with what you're seeing now up there?
I really feel like it's a splitting image, and I talk to people about this all the time. I say we had a top defense back then. We had a top defense that really wore out during the season, playing 60 and 70 snaps a game. It really starts to wear on the defense. You know, we were a top defense coming out, and we ended up not even making up, you know, a bowl game. You know, same thing with Gus Malzahn right now. A quarterback play. You know, our quarterback play was terrible. We didn't have a quarterback. Jared Stidham, I love you to death, but we might as well not have a quarterback right now. Running game was null and void. And everyone knew what we were doing with Tony Franklin. They knew the play. So if we have people, you know, the regular population sitting up looking at the screen and calling out the plays, obviously something is going on. And I, like I said, it's night and day with me. I remember everything.
Well, and we talked early in the season that we would be interested to see how Gus Malzahn coaches this year, coaching for his job, or not coaching for his job, because last year, after the LSU game, he had to win every game in order to keep his job, which he did. And so he did really well with a gun pointed to his head. Then he gets a contract, loses the SEC championship game, loses the bowl game, and is basically 4-5 since that big contract. Well, he's back to coaching for his job again, because I don't care what anybody says. He has to win. He has to keep winning it, at least win the next three games to keep his job.
And you're definitely right. And what's painful is you buy into the hype of, you know, him winning a couple big-time games, and you dish out a lot of money. Now you catch the back end of that when he comes back, and it's the same old story after winning those big games. It's the same old story with the offense. It's the same old story with developing a quarterback. And now we're in a position where our hands are kind of tied, but a decision has to be made.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tim. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
Let's see, Bo.
How are you?
Appreciate the show, guys. We're in the same place as last week, but I'm not going to go there. I know this is a therapy session, but one question. You know, I'm not going to name any other coaches on other teams, but they get paid a lot of money as well, and sometimes, most times, that's our last game, in fact, all the time, but I digress. What coach around the nation would see a quarterback falling to his knees, literally, in every way, and not try to say, look, this guy's done. I mean, he's all but said so. He's showing every sign on the field of just being absolutely athletically begging to be taken out. Let's try something else. And I don't know at what point, you know, I guess if an atomic bomb went off, coach wouldn't take him out. And I don't understand that. And I've heard that, not just from me, multiple people. Of course, you know, call us Monday morning, you know, armchair quarterbacks. But, hey, see, I mean, Bo, any of you, what is the deal with not taking him out and say, look, we're suffering, we're in a bad situation. Hey, let's see what we can get started.
Well, it goes back to the 2008 season and the quarterbacks that we had with Cody Burns. You bring in the offensive coordinator and Tony Franklin, which I would say was pretty similar to Chip Lindsey. And you bring in a guy that's really not running his own system. That's what I feel like. And when a defense and a woman sitting on the couch is able to predict what play you're going to call on offense, it's pretty cut and dry and simple. Gus can't develop a quarterback. Recruiting-wise, we haven't recruited a running back that can fill those shoes of a Kerryon Johnson or a Cameron Petway. And offensive line, we just dropped the ball. You know, we dropped the ball. We don't have the depth, and we don't have the guys to compete over there. And as I was talking to Bo, one area that we recruited great at is wide receiver, but that may be the only area that we recruited at offensively in this past couple years, you know, that we can truly see.
I'll just leave you with, you know, if it's this bad, then, you know, why can't we do something else and just, you know, change it up a little bit? I mean, you know, if something's going this wrong, something's got to give. I mean, in the ball game, if things are going downhill as bad as we were, I mean, what gives?
Well, I'll tell you, there's an interesting analogy I heard somebody make. I don't know, Tim, if you're old enough to remember the Olympic hockey game in 1980 when we beat the Soviets.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, of course, the Soviet Union's hockey team, for those of all who don't remember, they'd won the Olympic gold medal for literally for 30 years. Nobody touched them. They'd beaten the U.S. Olympic hockey team 10-0 in an exhibition game before the Olympics. They'd beaten the NHL All-Stars. Anyway, they were a super team, and of course, the U.S. Olympic hockey team with a bunch of 21, 22-year-olds went out and beat them. And at the end of the game, there are about 3 minutes to go. Typically, if a team's behind, they'll take their goalie out and put another skater on the ice to try to get a goal. Well, the Russians never pulled their goalie. Even in the last 30 seconds, they didn't pull their goalie. And in a great line of what Herb Brooks said, who was the Olympic hockey coach, his assistant, Craig Jarrett, said, they're not pulling Michigan. Michigan, Vladislav Michigan was the Michigan was the goalie. They said, they're not pulling Michigan. And Herb Brooks said, he doesn't know what to do. Because the Russians had never been in that position of being down a goal, or hadn't been in years. And Gus Malzahn doesn't know what to do. He's the equivalent of Viktor Tikhonin, who's the Russian coach, who'd never lost a game or at that point, and what he had done, it always worked. Well, Gus has done something for his entire career, and it's always pretty much worked, with even at high school. But the last few years, he's figured out that other defensive coordinators are pretty smart, too. And
Well, I mean, that hits it right on the head.
And so he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how. And I've said this before, you know, Gus is – he's an innovative guy, but he's not very smart, because he's got one thing he does. The analogy – another analogy I'll use is that he's basically Paul Johnson from Georgia Tech from the shotgun. Paul Johnson does one thing. He does a wishbone. Now, he can win 7 or 8 games at Georgia Tech every year, and 7 or 8 games will keep you a job at Georgia Tech. In fact, they'll love you for that. But that's not Auburn. And you're never going to win national championships or conference championships that way. But that's all Gus knows how to do. And so that's what he is. That's why he's lost 4 games pretty much every season he's been the coach. Well, thank you, Tim, for calling in. We're going to step aside real quick here in just a second. And AC, like we talked, you said earlier, this week and next week, well, the following week against Texas A&M, Gus is coaching for his job. I think he can salvage it if he wins a couple of games with some major changes, which we'll talk about. But his job's on the line this week.
Going to be tough sledding, but I would really be surprised if he pull out any of those wins.
Can't disagree with you. We'll be back with Jeffrey Lee from AuburnSports.com to give us some insights from up on the plains and what he's hearing and what AuburnSports.com is publishing about the situation on campus right now and in the athletic department, what they're hearing as far as what the president, Dr. Leith, is doing, the pressure he's under right now, as well as what other rumors might be going on. And it's a little bit of good news from basketball. All when we come back after this quick break on your Auburn Tiger radio program.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back, Auburn fans, to your Auburn Tiger radio program. Bo Meganson and Antonio Coleman here with you till the top of the hour, talking Tigers and only Tigers, and opening up the aura for feel-good and soothing emotions. That's for you, Auburn fans who need the therapy. We've got the incense going. We've got the low lights, and everything is going to be better. If you need to just emote, it's going to be fine. And AC, one thing that I do want to talk about that makes you feel fine, I know, is the food out at Nexus Cinema Dining. And I know we're not out there this week, but folks, they're a sponsor of the program. We can't say enough good things about the atmosphere, the venue, and the food out at Nexus Cinema Dining. And it's a good thing that we're probably, frankly, not there, because we were grazing like hogs out there every week.
Maybe that would have us feeling a little better, Bo. That food is amazing, as I said before, and I will actually be there tomorrow. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to go out and definitely watch a movie and make up for tonight's missing. But that food is amazing. We appreciate everything they do for us. Second home to us. We love it, you know, and we're excited to see you guys.
And you get the macaroni and cheese bites. I know we've been talking protein with the shrimp and with the filet mignon bites, but the macaroni and cheese bites were incredible.
If you go out to Nexus Dining Cinema, please try the mac and cheese bites. They are amazing. And thanks, Bo. I'm definitely getting those tomorrow. So, ticket might be a little high tomorrow, but who cares? You know, Auburn is not off on a good note, so I have to find some way to
medicate with food.
Medicate myself, and it's going to be with that awesome food that they have at Nexus.
Well, trust me, there are worse ways to go. And let's go ahead and bring in our favorite guest, Jeffrey Lee from AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate. And Jeffrey, thanks for joining us again this week.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Well, eventful few days up there, and I've been reading a lot of what you guys have been publishing on AuburnSports.com. I know J.G. Tate, your publisher there, had a very interesting piece on where he thinks the program is. And, of course, you've had some good news from the basketball perspective we can get into here in just a second. But from the bigger picture, football's where we are right now. Football drives the train at Auburn Athletics. Where are we, and what is the situation with Gus Malzahn and his coaching position right now?
It's hard to say. It's not at a dead end at this point. It's so hard to find anybody that's supportive of Gus, you know, after this most recent loss at Tennessee. He just doesn't have a lot of supporters. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were iffy or, you know, somewhat angered at the contract that he signed after last season. And, you know, those guys are coming out and basically saying it's time to go, forget the money. And everybody kind of thought that the buyout was just going to be too much. He was locked in. No way that the money was going to be raised after this year, especially. You know, it was coming into this season, no matter what, he was going to be here until 2021 when the buyout was more reasonable. And but, you know, after what we've seen the last month, that money started coming out pretty good, or at least the concerns for the money have certainly lessened, and that doesn't seem to be a problem now. And as you referenced earlier, JG's article today, you know, he seems to think the end is imminent, and regardless of what happens this weekend, I'm not there yet, but you know, it's hard not to see that. I just can't see Gus Malzahn's future being in Auburn much longer.
Jeffrey, how you doing?
Doing well, AC.
Well, from your perspective, do you think that Gus's job is on the line this week?
I guess to a certain extent, yes, but no. I really think the damage is done. I just don't see him coming back from this. What's already been done. You know, I fully expect Auburn to go to Oxford and come out of there with a win. And of course, yeah, you know, I thought Auburn would have beaten Tennessee as well. But I feel like the damage has already been done. The support, whatever he had last week, he no longer has. And if you know Gus, you know, he's not a very personal guy. He's very private. He has a small circle, and that's fine and dandy until you need support from elsewhere. And he needs support from elsewhere, and nobody's coming forward. He has no powerful people at Auburn that support him any longer. So it's hard to make a case for him staying when everybody pretty much wants him out.
You know, and Jeffrey, I'll agree with you. And I think part of the issue is with Guts, it's been feast or famine. You're either, and now some would say, you know, 8-4 is not famine. Well, I would think 8-4 these days is equivalent of probably 7-4 when you can schedule a bunch of directional Louisiana teams or the mid majors. But he's either been in the SEC championship game or he's barely made the bowl, you know, a bowl game, and right. At least with Tuberville. The consistency, he only had the one really good year, but he was usually good for nine wins. He had, sure, of course, the 11 win season. Brandon Cox's sophomore year, I think it was, when we went and beat Georgia over there. But I think it's the feast or famine and the lack of consistency, and of course the lack of any kind of offensive consistency when supposedly he's this offensive genius that we've been sold. And that clearly is not the case. I think those are all contributors to people just having no confidence in him anymore.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head, feast or famine. Because I was talking to JG Tuesday, and I said, you know, as bad as inconsistent as Gus is, he's had four of the most memorable wins in Auburn history. You know, with the miracle, the kick six, the two wins last year over number one teams at home. Four of the best and, you know, most impressive wins that we've seen in a long time, and yet he flops. You know, he turns around and flops. How does he answer those? You know, he goes to the national championship, he loses, he gets beaten last year against Georgia, and goes to the Peach Bowl and loses to UCF. You know, everybody gives him a bye and thinks this is the year right here. Comes in preseason top 10 with, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the country returning to win a championship. And, you know, what, 2 months into the season, you've got three losses and three that you really shouldn't have had. But it's the not knowing. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You've seen some terrible offenses with this guy. And, you know, that's what he was – you know, brought in to do. He was supposed to be this guy who was, you know, going to score 30 points a game. I remember back when the concern was, well, he'll never be able to have a good defense. Well, he's got a good defense, and now he doesn't have a good offense. And, you know, at least with Tuberville, you knew what you were going to get. You were going to be competitive every year. You're going to have a chance to win the SEC every year. That's just not the case with Gus. And I think people are just – the roller coaster is just too much. They wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I feel like nobody else is on that train anymore.
Well, Jeffrey, what's that atmosphere like in the athletic department and, you know, just around the complex?
Very eerie. You know, it's very abnormal. It's these guys, you know, you see smiles and you see it, but it's almost like a facade. You know, it's like they try not to think about it. And just the vibe, you kind of feel that there's something going on. There's tension. There's, you know, I don't – Gus's circle and, you know, who all is in that now? I don't know where those other coaches stand, how they feel about it. So there's a lot of confusion. It's really weird, AC. Eerie is the best way I could to put it. Well, not a lot of support. I mean, there aren't guys walking around going, hey, we're going to get this back. You know, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to finish strong. You don't hear that. You know, you're almost hearing some excuses here and there, and you know, but you know, it's not what you would think.
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, I could see where Chip Lindsey would probably, because I don't think anyone thinks that he is running his offense or running things exclusively, and so I think he may be somewhat defensive. The other guys, it's hard to say, but from a program perspective, have the coaches on the defensive side, they haven't had a whole lot to be excited about the past couple weeks either.
That's true. Yeah, that was, you know, you'd like to think the players aren't quitting on the coaches, but, you know, I don't know if it's the scheme, the calls, or what, but, you know, the defense, you're talking about feast or famine, you know, the defense played lights out on first and second down against Tennessee. I think there were 8 or 9, third and 8 or more. So you're doing really well. There are eight plays of 3rd and 8 or longer. So 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, and Auburn gave up every single one of those eight plays for 168 yards against Tennessee. So you know, there's the blame is not hard to find blame. You know, there are a lot of people to blame, but I think it's bigger than that as far as, you know, what's going on here. I think it starts at the top, and there's not a lot of, you know, inspiration. You know, nobody that plays for Gus Malzahn is going to run through a brick wall for him. And, you know, that's what Auburn people are used to, you know, having the coach that you respect, you want to play for, and you want to do well for. And I don't know that that's the opinion of the team right now.
Well, you guys have been publishing, and Jay's been doing columns and opinion pieces just about every day on the situation. Can your subscribers and people that want to get up to date and regular information about the situation, is that something you guys plan to have up every day for the rest of the week?
Yeah, as long as there's something new coming out, that's kind of what we've been doing. We've been having little powwows every day, just bouncing information off of each other. Who you talking to, what you're hearing, and JG is so eloquent with his words. He's a lot more eloquent than I am, and as you can see from what he's done this week, you know, he knows his stuff, and he knows how to pass it on to our subscribers.
Well, I know we got 30 seconds left, and I wanted to get to some basketball before we cut away, but with next week being the off week, maybe we could talk some basketball. But in about 10 seconds, anything really, what's the feel about Bruce Pearl right now?
He's a savior. Thank God for Bruce.
I think a lot of people saying that, and of course, I saw that we were picked preseason 3rd in the conference.
That sounds about right.
So, but Jeffrey, we appreciate you joining us. How do people get access to you and JG and the other information on AuburnSports.com?
Auburn.rivals.com or AuburnSports.com. 1 week for free. Give us a try.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, Jeffrey.
Thanks, AC.
Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate. Appreciate him joining us and giving us insights from up there on the plains and what's going on and kind of the environment. We're going to step aside for the last time and come back with a final segment of this week's Auburn Tiger Radio program. Back with more right after this.
Live and enjoy Mobile Bay. A developer's big loss can be your big gain Saturday, October 27th. Listen.
Oh, want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Megenson.
And welcome back, Auburn fans, to our final segment of this week's Auburn Tiger Radio program and group therapy session. We hope that it's been a productive time for you, that you've been able to yell at your radio and be able to exercise some of those internal demons that probably have been building up for a couple of weeks. I know AC and I have. And Antonio, as we go into this week against Ole Miss, Jeffrey Lee in the previous segment said that he expects Auburn to come out of Ole Miss with a win. The strength of Ole Miss is their offense, particularly their receivers, and after what Tennessee showed us this past week, I expect that Ole Miss's better receivers will probably make some plays as well. The other side of the coin is that Ole Miss hasn't been able to stop anybody, but Auburn's offense has made worse defenses look great. And I just don't know how we can score points to keep up. Frankly, I expect us to come out with a loss and would be surprised if we come away with a win. Now, am I being just negative, or do you think I've got a valid reason to feel that way?
At this point right now, a couple weeks ago, there was no way you could tell me that Auburn would be in the position that we're in right now. And as I said before, Ole Miss has some of the top receivers and a quarterback that can sling it. A quarterback that is probably playing a little bit better than Jarrett Stidham right now and has some receivers that will make him right with their athletic ability and the way they go up and attack the ball. And with our secondary being depleted and a little bit banged up, it's gonna make for an interesting game, and it's going to be tough to go down there and pull a win out.
Well, and, of course, Jordan Tamu, the quarterback that you referenced at Ole Miss, not only can he throw the ball, but he's ran the ball and does run the ball very well against Arkansas last week. And Ole Miss went up to Fayetteville, or actually they played in Little Rock, and beat Arkansas last week. Jordan Tamu, between running and throwing, had over 500 yards of offense. Him personally, he ran for over 100 yards. And Fitzgerald showed how susceptible our can be. I think the defense will play better, AC. I just don't see how we're going to score any points.
Well, those two dual threat quarterbacks, Fitzgerald and Tamu, probably would make Auburn a contender, because they're dual threat quarterbacks that can run and pass the ball. And that goes back to the point of Jarrett Stidham just being a pro style quarterback and not being able to run the ball, you know, and that's a big problem also. But when you're not able to run the ball and pose a running threat as a quarterback, and that's the type of offense, that's the type of system you're in, and you're not playing at the top of your game throwing the ball, it creates a real problem, and that's the problem that we have right now.
And barring some miracle, the only way I think at this point, even if we beat Ole Miss, and even if we beat Texas A&M, the only way I could see Chip Lindsey keeping his job, current offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey keeping his job, is if we beat both Alabama and Georgia, and I don't think there's any chance of that happening. But if we do beat A&M and we do beat Ole Miss and Gus somehow manages to hold on to his job, I think the only answer, we talked about it last week, bringing in an offensive coordinator that has a proven track record, not just of developing and recruiting, but I mean at a high level, but a real name that's going to be able to attract people and get people to forget about the mess that Gus Malzahn's created. Now, to me, the only guy that could do that, salvage it, would be Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss head coach.
And, Bo, you're absolutely right. But the question is, does Chip Lindsey even stay around if he is able to salvage his job? Speaking on Gus Malzahn, if he's even able to salvage his job, does Chip Lindsey even stay around to get that name or to to take on what a Rhett Lashley took on and, you know, be forced out for Gus to save his job.
Much like Tony Franklin. You're talking about the way Tony Franklin was fired in midseason.
Right.
Would Chips be fired as well?
Right.
Well, you know, I think one thing that's working in that scenario is that, of course, after Hugh Freeze was dismissed from Ole Miss, he was slapped with a one-year show cause penalty from the NCAA and the SEC, or the SEC primarily, saying that he could not work for any SEC schools for a full calendar year, starting at last January. In fact, Nick Saban tried to hire Hugh Freeze as an analyst and couldn't do it because the SEC wouldn't let him. So, which you don't hear that very often, the SEC not letting Nick Saban do something. But so I think Chip would have to stick on through the end of the year, and Hugh Freeze, if he was selected, couldn't come on campus and do anything until January. But that said, the announcement could be made, and at least some excitement up through the early signing period in December, which is going to be vital. That's the other thing that Jeffrey didn't get a chance to talk about, and it's kind of secondary at this point. Something's got to be done to salvage even some semblance of a decent recruiting year. Otherwise, the spiral downwards is going to get worse, particularly on the offensive line.
Definitely so, because you have maybe five or six of the top guys. Noah Cain, which is a running back that Auburn desperately needs, that came in. Owen Papo, I think he was in also. And a couple more of these big-name guys that came into the Tennessee game. And, you know, it really wasn't a great showing, you know. But for Noah Cain, you know, he understands, and I think he sees that Auburn does need that marquee running back. So, I mean, it's kind of a give and take there, but you still want to win the football game.
Oh, you got to. And we desperately need him. We need probably a couple of running backs because, as you have so astutely pointed out, we've not done a good job of recruiting running backs. Booby Whitlow is a good, solid player, but you've got to have more, as we are looking at now, you've got to have more than one legitimate guy. You know, Alabama has four guys that get – the fourth-string running back at Alabama could start at Auburn right now. The third-string running back at Georgia could start. The third-string running back at LSU could start at Auburn right now, probably. So we've done a very poor job of recruiting at running back. We've done, obviously, a very poor job of recruiting at offensive line over a – period of time, not just 1 year, not just 2 years, but over a long period of time.
2 minutes. And it definitely shows, you know, in the same position, like I said, the same situation I was in 2008, we did a horrible job of recruiting that quarterback. You know, nothing against Cody Burns, but he wasn't a quarterback. You get Andrew McCain, which was a defensive guy. He moved to the offensive side of the ball. So you get Gabe McKenzie, which was another guy a tight end and move to the defensive side of the ball. So offensive line-wise, you know, we were dealing with the same thing also.
Well, you know, going into this week, yeah, I'll never pull against Auburn, but I don't think Gus Malzahn's the future of our at this point of our program, because I don't think he can change Antonio. I don't think he can grow much like Coach Dye did. Coach Dye grew after the 1985 season, which you're too young to remember, but Auburn was preseason number one, had the best running back in the country, the best player in the country in Bo Jackson, and floundered. And Coach Dye changed his all approach, changed quarterback, changed approach, and won three straight SEC titles. I don't think Gus Malzahn is capable of doing that, and I don't know how we go forward.
Auburn is in need of a breath of fresh new air, and that breath of fresh air is going to be probably Hugh Freeze, a big name guy that can come in and run his own system as an offensive coordinator, and for Kevin Steele to stay put, and for these guys to get out and do some heck of a recruiting.
I agree with you. Well, folks, this has been a good cathartic. A good cathartic show for us. We appreciate you joining us. We'll be back next week. Of course, it's going to be an off week, but we'll be talking, you know, what the status of the program is. We'll be able to have a better feel for what Gus Malzahn's situation is now that he's through the Ole Miss game, and we'll be able to talk about a little more basketball, which is a very good thing with Bruce Pearl. For Antonio Coleman, this is Bo Meginson. We'll be back next week with more of your Auburn Tiger radio program.
War Eagle,
everybody.